D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly, 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 proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick out today. He will rejoin us tomorrow. The Predators are in Columbus, Ohio to take on the Blue Jackets tonight. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie had the opportunity to go watch his son Mahoney play baseball for Denison, which is also located in Ohio. So who are we to stand in the way of Willie Donick having the opportunity to watch his baby boy play college baseball?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what we're here for.
His only boy.
His only boy. Will Donick, according to the bio on Mahoney's player page. Will Donick. I don't know any Wills.
Professional Will Donick.
Yeah, I don't know a Will. I mean, I know a Willie. Yes.
He doesn't look like a Will. He looks like a Willie. Somebody's going to clip that and take that out of context, I'm sure.
When I think of a Will, I think of Will Smith. For some reason, I just think of Will Smith.
It's also April.
The baseball player?
It's also April Fool's Day for all of those who celebrate.
What if
April
this was
Fool's
a, just an April Fool's joke by Willie to say, I don't want to come in today?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good one if that is indeed true. But you know what I say? You couldn't fool your mother on the foolingest day of your life if you had an electrified fooling machine.
Okay. Answer me this.
Sure.
Okay, on April Fool's Day, sports related. Because obviously we are a sports show.
Indeed,
we
are.
The best sports show. Is it okay to do a sports April Fool's?
Such as?
Such as saying something happened when it didn't happen in the world of sports. Is that okay? Because of what we're tasked to do each and every day.
It depends on how, if it's trivial, like if it's a small thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I came on the air right now, which I'm about to do for the purpose of this argument, and said, the Tennessee Titans have traded all of the picks. They've traded all of their picks for Patrick Mahomes.
I think that's too hard. That's too easy to not believe.
Okay.
Okay, say this one, for instance, because I threw this one out to y'all earlier. I saw something quickly. I was just scrolling through, and I saw something quickly. But I know in this business, you gotta go deeper and deeper before you actually put something out there. So knowing that it's April Fool's, I looked at it and I asked the fellas, like, man, did the Baltimore Ravens trade for Max Crosby and give up their 27th pick in the draft in the first round? And I looked at it and I'm like, nah, that didn't happen. And I'm thinking, like, it's April Fool's. Something like that where it's not too far-fetched. Because Max Crosby had been wanting out of, you know, Vegas for a minute.
Then but he just signed a gigantic contract.
So is it okay to come out and say something like that where it's more believable than not? I'm not going to believe that the Titans gave up all their picks for Patrick Mahomes. Because I don't think Kansas City would take all of the Titans' pick for this year and next year and give up Patrick Mahomes. I don't think they would do that.
One texter, Nevada Josh, says somebody did do that. They posted that Aaron Rodgers announced his retirement.
That's too. That's like, yeah, right.
I think it's only funny if like the athletes did it.
Yeah, you're right.
Like if Tom Brady would say, "I'm coming back," you know, that I would say is kind of funny. And then did the April Fool's joke, but you have to do it right under the tweet.
Yes.
Like you have the tweet, and then you have the thread.
April Fool's. Okay.
That's when it becomes funny.
It works. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It works better when the actual person is saying it. Like Tom Brady, I'm coming out of retirement. I just gave my notice to CBS. Or is it Fox?
Fox.
And I will be returning back to the NFL. I think people would believe that, but he can say it
okay.
because it's him.
Chuck on our text line says, D-Mace, no, it is not okay to do a sports April Fool's. I still can't get over what you did to all of us listeners last year. I truly believed you.
But it was me.
I don't recall what you did last year.
Well, I told everybody I was coming out of retirement and going to try out for the Nashville Cats. But that was me. It was me personally saying something that I was going to do. Now, I couldn't report like, oh, Kevin Dyson – or Blaine Bishop is cutting out of retirement, you know, and going to play for the Nashville Cats or they're working out for them. I can't do that because that's them. And then their phone's going to be inundated with calls. I should have did that.
Hey, if you did come out of retirement.
Oh, my God.
If you did come out of retirement for the Nashville Cats, you know who would be calling your touchdowns? Chase McCabe.
Yeah, there you go.
And Big Joe Dubin.
There we go. I should have said, I'm hearing word that Kevin Dyson walked into the Titans facility with cleats in his hand in the bubble. Oh,
I think we should avoid.
I think that's dangerous territory.
I think we should avoid.
Yes. Oh, man.
Chase has actually texted in and said, Derek, do you remember when Steve and Eddie and Jeff Fisher did that prank on April Fool's where Hope Hines with Channel 5 reported they got traded? I forgot where, Baltimore or something like that, but they were all in on it.
Yeah, but see, but they were all in on it. So you can do that, and he's right. But you can do that when everyone within the party understands. But if it's some rogue thing, I can't.
If it's just one of those Twitter accounts, those troll Twitter accounts, that's not funny.
Yeah.
But it that has Adam Schefter. Yeah. Or, you know, like that.
With an extra R.
You don't realize it until.
that stuff's not funny. But, like, the ones that, like, where it's like, here's the tweet, someone got traded to some team, and on the bottom it says April Fools.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, is funny. But, like, again, it's.
It's like, you got to have the person. You got to have the person involved in it, like, you know. So to
like someone saying confirmed sources.
Confirmed. So I couldn't just say, you know, flippantly that this person was here. I can say that I went, you know. So, but I was just wondering because, you know, I maybe thought about an April Fool's. This morning.
We'll try not to do something that gets us kicked off the air between now and 2 o'clock. But Shedeur Sanders will have his pro day. Travis Hunter will have his pro day. Colorado as a team will have its pro day on April 4th, which is Friday. Then the Titans will have Shedeur Sanders in for a private workout next week, I believe next Tuesday. Brian Callahan said yesterday, at the league meetings, quote, our interactions with him, meaning Sanders, have been really positive. We had him in for a 30 visit on top of it, and then we're heading out to his pro day, but I've really enjoyed him. I've liked his demeanor. I like the way he comes across. He's confident without being over the top, which is a good thing. All of our interactions have been positive. I'm excited to see what he can bring. And we discussed this with Tim Hasselbeck, and we have the clip. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN over the weekend had a report on SportsCenter about Shedeur Sanders and where he could fall in the NFL draft. This was Jeremy Fowler on ESPN SportsCenter last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the people I've talked to believe that Shedeur Sanders is under consideration in that top three. You're talking Browns at 2, Giants at 3, although Abdul Carter, the pass rusher, seems to have momentum a little bit for the Browns at 2. Here's the tricky part with Sanders. Before I walked in here, I texted with a half dozen or so high-level personnel people with teams. I asked them a simple question. Do you have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders, meaning do you see him as a first-round talent? 4 said no, more of a second-rounder. 2 said yes, that he's a mid to late first-round pick for them. So we all know quarterbacks get pushed up. That's the way it goes. He's certainly worthy, it looks like, of a first-round pick. But to go in the top 3, that's what teams are grappling with right now. They see Cam Ward as that type of player. They don't see Sanders as that. So maybe the Saints at 9, if he starts to fall a little bit. They've been doing a lot of homework on quarterbacks. Yeah. Somebody will stop him if he does fall out of there.
That was Jeremy Fowler on SportsCenter over the weekend, texting with personnel people. 4 of them, according to Jeremy Fowler, did not have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders. 2 others had a mid-to-late first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders. And there were a lot of people who earmarked Shedeur Sanders to the New York Giants. They signed Jameis Winston. They signed Russell Wilson. Now, there have been reports that those two signings don't mean that the Giants couldn't also draft Shedeur Sanders. But I feel like the outcome for Sanders, Derek, in this draft, I feel like the outcomes are wide-ranging. I could see Shedeur Sanders being picked near the top of the draft. I could see Shedeur Sanders falling late into the first round. And that's why I find him to be the most fascinating prospect. I know that you have a lot of time for Shedeur Sanders. Tyron Davenport really likes Shedeur Sanders. There are people around the league who like Shedeur Sanders, but it just feels like the outcome in the draft a month from now, or less than a month from now, we are in the month of the NFL draft, thank God. It feels like there are so many outcomes, and that's why I find him to be such a fascinating prospect.
Yeah, it has been interesting how where Shedeur Sanders started to where he is now. But I understand too that it's neither about those two things. It's about where you end up and what you do once you get there. So, but it is interesting because my brother told me that a long time ago. I said, listen, it's not where you draft it or where you go. It's what you do when you get there. So I think Shedeur is sort of falling in that space. We've seen this before. Aaron Rodgers, he fell down in the draft.
Will Levis.
All the way to 24. And we see how his career has been for whatever reason. Will Levis falling in the draft to the second round. Where at the beginning, you know, you had people, Mel Kiper. He's the number one pick. He's the best quarterback in the draft. Only to be drafted in the second round. And it just seems like he's not a starting quarterback at this point in his career. So you're going to see individuals, for whatever reason, they're going to fall in the draft. But this one is kind of... It's because if you look at Shedeur Sanders and you say, what do I want? What would be my criteria for a starting NFL quarterback, a really good NFL quarterback? I'm not even talking about elite quarterback because, yes, everybody wants that and everybody knows what that looks like. But elite quarterbacks are not in every draft, okay? If you have these criterias for what you think a winning quarterback is for you, a guy that you can draft, you know, somewhere in the first round, I would tend to think before all of this draft stuff, let's just say before the combine, because that's when everything started to change for whatever reason.
It really did feel like coming out of the combine. That's where the separation began between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. At least to me,
Even before that,
despite the fact that neither of them participated,
did anything exactly,
and Shedeur Sanders went to the East-West Shrine Bowl and didn't do anything there either.
So it's like before that, if you had to list what you wanted in a winning quarterback, I think that Shedeur fit the bill. Smart, good arm, make good decisions, don't put the ball in harm's way, has some athletic ability, he's poised in the pocket, he can stand there knowing he's about to get blasted by a defensive end and still deliver the ball. He's a leader, he's been able to lead. So those things, that's eight things. And I'm sure there are more things, you know, but he fits what you want. That was before the combine. And then after the combine, it was like, yeah, he fits those, but he's not elite. He's not this guy. He's not that guy. And I'm thinking, like, what happened between, you know, you saying or everyone saying that, man, he sort of checked. Oh, excuse me. I can't say that word. He fits what we want from a quarterback. How do you go from that to saying, like, this dude is not even a first round. He's a second round guy, and now all of a sudden he can't lead and He can't be a really good starter in this league. Again, if you want him to be an elite quarterback, yes, it doesn't seem like that's where he's headed. But if you're saying, I want a really good quarterback, a quarterback that can lead, a quarterback that can do these things that a quarterback needs to do, he fits that bill, at least to me. Now, we won't know until he actually gets in the NFL and starts playing. But I don't understand, and maybe because of all the negative talk, you know, during that time. His dad wants to be a part of this. He's arrogant. Look at what he's doing. He's making all of this stuff.
Brian Callahan, again, said that he's confident without being over the top.
Exactly. But many put him in the category of what? Over the top.
Because of his father.
His father, yeah. So that may have, I think more than anything, that has hurt him. I really believe more than anything. Because I think if you turn on the tape, he's still a first-round pick. You know? Now, when he gets in the NFL, he has to prove it. But if you're just looking at the talent, what he did, what he was able to accomplish, what he did for that university, he's a first-round pick. But I think all that negative talk at the beginning hurt him. So whoever started, they did exactly what they wanted. It happened exactly the way they wanted it to. Now he falls in a draft, and he's going to get picked by one of those teams that I'm sure was sort of pushing that narrative.
So Mel Kiper, I don't have the clip, but Mel Kiper was on Get Up this morning talking about Shedeur Sanders, and he was talking about quarterbacks sliding in the draft. And this is what he said, quote, "It's happened a lot over the years. I went back to 1970. If you want the best opportunity to get a quarterback, based on the numbers, that's in the top five of the draft. Now, that sliding quarterback, we've had eight. According to my rankings and my mocks that I've had going back to 1970, six of those eight were big hits. Two were busts. That was Jimmy Clausen and Brady Quinn, the two Notre Dame quarterbacks. So if Shedeur does slide, it bodes pretty well for him and the team that drafts him. The top five is the best spot to get that guy, though, in terms of the history of the draft. But in terms of Shedeur, New Orleans is sitting there at number 9. Pittsburgh sitting there at number 20. The Rams are sitting there at number 26. So again, you talk about if we don't get Shedeur, we can get somebody else. What if those guys are gone? You're not going to have like five or six guys after the top one or two. It's not going to happen. So if you identify the one or two guys you really like, you want to move forward with as your developmental quarterback, you better get one of those guys. You can't lose them. So this notion, trade out, move around, do this, there's no guarantee you're going to get that player. But I find that to be interesting, and I would like to go back and see if I can find this in print. But since, according to Mel Kiper, since he did his mocks, going back to 1970, six of the eight quarterbacks that slid, six of them were big hits. Two were busts. Jimmy Clausen and Brady Quinn. I would like to find who the other six were.
Yeah,
to get a good sense of how much of a big hit they were. But there are teams that are near. Look, let's talk about Pittsburgh for a second. Pittsburgh is doing this will they, won't they thing with Aaron Rodgers. We don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. It does feel like Aaron Rodgers will inevitably end up in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But what if Pittsburgh's in a position to draft Shedeur Sanders? What if Shedeur Sanders drops to the bottom third of the draft and he can end up in a situation in Pittsburgh? You talk glowingly about Pittsburgh and the situation they have there, the environment they have there. Who's to say that Shedeur Sanders couldn't fall to Pittsburgh, for example, and end up having a solid career?
You're right. And this may end up, you know, working out the way it's supposed to. Because I think Shedeur Sanders is in a position that, and I'm going back to more recent years of quarterback sliding and Aaron Rodgers. I think that was the 2005 draft.
I assume that Aaron Rodgers was one of the quarterbacks that Mel Kiper described as a big hit.
Exactly.
Who slid.
So you look at Aaron Rodgers. He slides into what turns out to be a great position for him. but great position. He may not have liked it initially, but it ended up working out. He has 4 MVPs, I believe, in the Super Bowl, and probably regarded as the greatest arm talent ever. You know, and I know Patrick Mahomes is there, but when we talk about just the arm talent, he may go down as the greatest. But he ended up sliding into a perfect position for him. Probably didn't like it at first because Brett was still there. But it ended up working out. This may happen to Shedeur Sanders, where he falls to a team that is prepared to win, that is still in that winning phase. They don't necessarily need a quarterback today, but they know they're going to need a quarterback tomorrow. And when I mean tomorrow, I mean the next year, the next following year. So we draft Shedeur Sanders, i.e. Jordan Love. I'm thinking basketball. Jordan Love. Same organization. Did the same thing. Drafted Jordan Love. He ends up in a perfect position where he sits behind, no pressure. And then you get paid a massive contract. Why? Because you play really good when you need to. That would be the ideal situation for Shedeur Sanders. So him falling to, let's say, Pittsburgh, it's great. Because Pittsburgh is in a position to win now. But they don't need necessarily Shedeur Sanders to play right away. Or you name another team that maybe in a year or two they're going to need a quarterback. He may end up falling to a perfect position for himself where I don't need to be the starter this year and maybe not even next year. But like Jordan Love, I'm going to get that opportunity. And I'm going to be already set up with a team ready to win.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on Shedeur Sanders coming up next. What Deion Sanders recently said about Shedeur Sanders. A bit of a change of tone from Deion Sanders, and we'll get to that next. But before we do, this Saturday, don't miss Nashville Super Speedway's pre-race concert contest. Nashville's next rising star at Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row from 1 to 5 p.m. The contest will be emceed by 102.5 The Game's Joe Dubin and special guest DJ Mojo will keep the crowd hyped all afternoon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events.
All right. As you well know, Archie Manning once upon a time wanted his son to play in the Big Apple, Eli to play in New York, yeah. And he made that happen.
Yeah.
Would you like to see your son play in New York just because it's New York?
Honestly, Shedeur has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams. So I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
That was Deion Sanders with Skip Bayless. A different tone struck by Deion Sanders. Remember not too long ago, Deion Sanders was making noise that would indicate he would play the Archie Manning role, perhaps, mm-hmm. and try to navigate his son to a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now, according to Deion Sanders, if it's New York, if it's New York, it's Tennessee, it's Tennessee. If it's Cleveland, if it's Las Vegas, a team that needs a quarterback, seems like Shedeur Sanders would be happy to go there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, getting drafted is an honor. So, you know, even if you're considered the best player in the draft, I just don't, regardless of who it is, it's like, man, you've worked your tail off so much so that you are considered the number one guy in this year's draft. You know, as the year is going, you watch the league, you know what teams is going to pick first. Enjoy it. Go there and don't say or don't let come out of your camp. And this goes for the Mannings because they did it. And it goes for the Sanders because he sort of did it at the beginning. Understand that this is an honor and a privilege. One, to get drafted, period. but to get drafted number one overall. So coming in and say, well, I don't want my son to play for this team. Your damn arrogance, please. Like, seriously. Again, that goes for the Mannings when they did it, and it goes for the Sanders because he was doing it at the beginning, sort of. If you've played in this league and you understand this league, you know that, hey, listen, my son may not be going to the place that, you know, is ideal for him, like everything is set out for him, but he has a chance to change it once he go there. Why not have that mind? Why have that thought process? But you don't, because it's the arrogance behind it. You try to mask it as no, that's the arrogance of all of y'all. Instead of saying, you know what, my son played well enough, he may be the first pick. Whoever drafts him, they're getting a damn good ball player, but more importantly, they're getting a damn good leader and person off the field, and he's going to change your organization no matter who he goes to. But it doesn't happen. It hadn't happened that way in those two situations. But I think Coach Sanders, he may have found out, like, man, my son is dropping it, and it could be because of what I'm saying. So let me pull back a little. My thing is, once, if he does indeed drop, we don't know. It could happen, but it seems like, you know, from when we first started talking about this to now, that he is slowly dropping. It ain't even slow. It's just like falling without a parachute right now. He may end up, again, like I said, he may end up in the best position for himself, because I look at teams like the Saints, who don't need him to start now, but they may need him to start next year or 2 years. They can move. They can sort of move their way around in the draft. I look at the L.A. Rams, another prime example. They just signed not Bradford. Why do I always think Bradford?
Matthew Stafford.
Yes, Stafford.
Because it rhymes with Bradford.
Yes, Stafford. But beyond another year or two, they're going to be – so I could see a team like that drafting a Shedeur Sanders, developing him more within their system. And then they're ready to go after that. Why? Because they ain't got to pay him that much money. You know, so I believe that, you know, because of what has happened, and this is one of these things where I think we are going, the closer we get to the draft and that when the actual draft happened, we're going to be talking more about Shedeur Sanders than the draft period. Because he may end up getting drafted a lot higher than what people are predicting, or he may slide to a point where he's sliding out the first round. And you know, the NFL, NFL Network, everybody will ride that story until that horse just falls out. They're going to do it. They did it with Will Levis as much as they could. They did it with Johnny Manziel. What makes you think they're not going to do it with Shedeur Sanders times 20, if indeed that happens? So this is something that he needs to be prepared for, but I can see those teams. And possibly, say if the Titans do move out of that first spot, maybe they, you know, move that with that second pick in the first round. I mean, that second pick in the first pick in the second round. Maybe they move out of that pick into the late first round and then get a quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, if he's still there. That would be a story in itself.
So Jim Wyatt at the Tennessee Titans website, a lot of stories from the league meetings. He had one with Chad Brinker. And here's a passage from that story, and I want to know, Derek, if you think this is a big deal, a little deal, or no deal. Jim Wyatt writes, quote, "This upcoming Friday, the Titans will once again be well-represented at Colorado's Pro Day in Boulder. Then on April 9th, the team will once again have a large contingent on hand at private workouts for both players, meaning Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, including offensive and defensive coaches so they can evaluate Hunter as a dual prospect. DC Denard Wilson and passing game coordinator slash cornerbacks Tony Oden will be on hand, along with members of the offensive staff. Since Brinker attended two of Colorado's games in the fall, he won't be on hand for the team's pro day. The Titans have already spent time with Sanders at the East-West Shrine Game and the NFL Combine, in addition to hosting him for a 30 visit." So according to Jim Wyatt, Chad Brinker will not attend Colorado's pro day. I also saw Ian Rappaport tweet that Brinker and Brian Callahan won't be present at Colorado's Pro Day. Having seen Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter multiple times already, they'll be part of a large Tennessee contingent at an April 9th private workout for both players. So Chad Brinker and I guess Brian Callahan not attending Colorado's Pro Day. Big deal, little deal, or no deal to you?
I think it's a big deal. If
what does it tell you that they're not?
If I'm not really interested in you, had a face, it would look like that. Just what the Titans did. So
he's just not that into you?
Exactly. So
solid rom-com.
Yeah, you got to watch it if you hadn't seen
10 out of 10.
So what you're saying is the supreme rule of all football.
Indeed.
And your head coach is not going to your workout.
To you there
to the University
to
of
the
Colorado.
University workout. Yeah, yes,
to the University workout pro day. That means, frankly, I'm not really that into you right now. Maybe if something happens, we can talk about it later. But right now, I'm really not into you. So have fun at your workout. We'll see you when you work out here in Nashville. That tells me they're out on both guys, really. And maybe they have seen enough film. I don't know. But I'm sure they've seen just as much film of Cam Ward as they did of Shedeur Sanders. But where was the supreme ruler of football at?
At Miami's Pro Day.
Absolutely. Where was the head coach at?
At Miami's Pro Day.
And the GM?
At Miami's Pro Day.
And Jim Wyatt?
At Miami's Pro Day.
And I assume Jim Wyatt will also
exactly,
be at Colorado's
Pro Day. But I'm just saying, that whole contingent of people in the know, where were they at?
At Miami's Pro Day.
Absolutely. And all those people ain't going to be in Colorado. And I would rather go to Colorado than Miami. I just like the mountains. So I would rather travel out west than
first.
I would down south. You know?
I'm not a huge Miami person.
I'm not either, so I don't blame you. But that just shows that, yeah, we believe you are a good player. The both of you. But we are not drafting either one of you with the number one pick. That's what it sounds like. If I'm not interested in you, look like something, it would look like what the Titans did. But it's no knock on those two guys. It's really not. It's just what the Titans are looking for.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders. Apparently, Chad, what's so funny over there?
David said something. He's like, you like Colorado because of. And I just laugh. Mm. I just laugh, that's all.
It's a little funny.
Yes.
All righty. 615.
And it's not girls. That's not what it is. It's not girls, okay?
So what you're saying is that our area code is not 420-615.
We're not saying that.
Yes.
We're not saying that, but yes. Okay.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders and the fact that Chad Brinker and I guess Brian Callahan will not be at Colorado's Pro Day to see Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter, though they'll be here for a private workout a week from tomorrow. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you out there that this week's Nashville's Best Deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and grab yours now.
There. Are you pretty sure you know who you're taking?
You know, I think we're getting closer to that decision right now. We have a few more boxes to check here over the next couple of weeks, but we're getting close.
I'm fascinated with the interview process because I will learn a million things about you just from how engaging you are, what you're saying, how you look, what do you look to get out of let's just say sitting with Cam Ward? What are the questions that you want answered?
Yeah, you want to get to just know the person. I guess the hardest thing to do in this business, we're all going to miss on the tape at times, but the hardest thing to do is try to predict human behavior, right? So you really want to sit down with the person, get to know them, get to know their family as well. And then, you know, our scouts go through the school during the year and, do they love football? Do they love the process? Then once we get to the combine, we actually have a chance to sit down with the coaches. That's the first time they really get their hands on them. And to go through some X's and O's and to see if things line up to what we heard going through the school, some of their football intelligence piece, their leadership ability, how they relate to people. When we bring guys in on 30 visits, it's how they relate to everybody in the building, all the different departments. We have them sit and visit with them. How relatable are they? That's an important part of being in the locker room.
That was Mike Borgonzi with Kay Adams at the NFL League meetings. D-Mace Vingan Adonic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Mike Borgonzi, one thing that I've learned listening to Mike Borgonzi, we had the opportunity to interview Mike Borgonzi the day or two after he was hired. He is the undisputed, he is the undisputed king of saying a lot without saying anything. He can talk and talk and talk, and you don't know if you really learn anything by listening to him. There are some things that he says that are important, and you can key in on them. You know, Jared astutely made the point when Cam Ward talked about solidifying the quarterback position. Mike Borgonzi spent a lot of time when he first got here talking about solidifying the quarterback position. So there are little tells in what Mike Borgonzi has to say, but I do find I listen to a lot of his interviews and I'm just like, I don't know how much I learned. And that's usually the sign of a good GM, to be honest with you.
Yeah, say a lot, but I'm only giving you a little.
Yes.
You know, I think Fish was great at that. And you have to be as a head coach or a GM, because they're asking you question after question, and you want to be respectful, and you want to answer them whether you think it's a crazy question or not. But you found out you've mastered the art of saying a lot, but saying little. So I don't fault Borgonzi for that. Here's my thing: when he mentions, I want guys that love football.
You gotta love ball, man. Yeah.
And see what he has to understand. I think what he needs to understand is this: you can ask a guy that 20 years ago, and I think you would get, I love football. Why? Because of these reasons. But I think when you ask some of these athletes nowadays, you ask them, "Do you love ball? Do you love football?" Their answer may be yes, but I've come to realize there are two different people in the world of sports, mainly football, because that's the sport that I played. It's what can I do for football, and what can football do for me? I love it either. I love it, but I love football because of what it can do for me. See, that's the question. So don't ask, you know, do you love ball? Do you love to compete? That's what I want to know. Do you love competition? If you love competition, okay. Because I can find 200 guys out of the 300 or some guys that are, you know, will get drafted that say they love football. But why do you love it? Do you love it because of what it can ultimately afford you? Do you love it because it puts you in a position of notoriety, power? Financially, if you play well enough, even if you don't play well enough, they still pay backups handsomely and third stringers compared to the real world. So do you love football because of that? Or do you love football because of what you can do for the game? The mark that you can leave for the game. When people talk about you, it's talking about moving the game for what you did within the game. So do you like it because of that, how you can sort of, you know, get everybody together and raise everybody up? Or do you like it because of it's going to put you in a position where, and listen, I get it, but that runs out very quickly. What can a league do for me? That runs out very quickly, because after you done got your bag, it's like, and I've seen it a lot of times, people, after you got your bag, that hunger's not there no more. You're not hungry anymore. You're fat with steak. Potatoes. So when you ain't hungry and your stomach fat, are you running around? Are you doing those extra things you need to be doing? No, you not. Why? Because it's all about what the league can do for me. But if I want a guy do you like to compete? All right, let's put a checkerboard down here. How bad do you want to win? Let's put a chessboard. How bad do you want to win? Let's put a game of cards. How bad do you want to? Let's go out there and play horse. How bad do you want to win? Let's race. How many times are you going to ask to race me? Until you win. That's competition. So I want to know if you really – I want somebody that really loves to compete, because you're not going to be put in an ideal situation each time. Can you compete through that? It's not about whether you love the game or not. I know all y'all do for whatever reason, but do you love to compete?
I think the question that a lot of fans have is, does Shedeur Sanders fall into what you're describing because of the flashiness, being a member of the Sanders family, right? We talked about what are some of the reasons that Shedeur Sanders could fall other than his ability. Mm-hmm. It's, well, what's the Deion experience going to be like? Is he a team player? I think there was a mini controversy at some point when he was at Colorado about when he scored a touchdown, instead of the Pep Band playing, they played Shedeur Sanders' rap track or something like that. And it's like, well, he doesn't care about his team. He only cares about himself. So, I mean, I don't know Shedeur Sanders, obviously. If he gets drafted here, which again, I don't think is going to happen, maybe we'll have an opportunity to get to know him in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But based on what you've seen of Shedeur Sanders, Derek, do you have any concerns that Shedeur Sanders does not fit into the description that you just had about football?
Let me answer it this way. And I'm not going to say this and, you know, think that Shedeur Sanders doesn't understand this. But there's a difference between Deion Sanders and Derek Mason saying, play my theme music after my song. Play it. It's different than Peyton Manning, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, after they score. Play my theme song. It doesn't hit the same. Why? Because they expect the quarterback to be what? A leader. They expect the quarterback to do his job without wanting all the flashy stuff, without drawing attention. Let your play draw attention to you. Don't do these. But Deion Sanders, Derek Mason, Terrell Owens, you know, J.J. Watt, all y'all got. Y'all can do that. Y'all can have fun with that. But the quarterback, you can't. You're just on a different tier. You may not like it, but you're on a different tier. You can't do those things. You can't do those things. And I don't know if he did it or not. It's been alleged that that is what happened. And I'm saying if that indeed did happen, I'm sure it doesn't sit well with some GMs and owners, because it does bring that it's about me. It's about me. And I'm not saying that's Shedeur Sanders. Allegedly, if that happens, that's just a check against you. It is, because it's to them, it's about you and not about the team. Again, I'm not saying he did it or not, but that did come out. From what I seen, the play on the field, he's shown me that he's more a team player than not team player. But I know he understands, and maybe this is why Deion has backed off a little bit. Perception is reality, especially at the quarterback position. And whatever perception is being pushed the hardest, it may either hurt you or it may help you. And maybe in this situation, these alleged things that he's done, you know, is hurting him rather than helping him.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders. Again, I find him to be the most fascinating prospect in this draft. I can imagine a wide range of scenarios for Shedeur Sanders, whether he's near the top of the draft. I could see him sliding down to the bottom half of the first round. I can't imagine him getting out of, you know, getting, I can't imagine him not being selected in the first round. But I do imagine a wide range of scenarios in the first round for Shedeur Sanders. Your thoughts? 615-737-1025. The Titans, well, most of the Titans personnel team, will be at the Colorado Pro Day later this week. And Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will be here for a private workout a week from tomorrow. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, at the NFL league meetings, a lot of talk about rule changes. specifically one in particular. Derek mentioned pushing. That's exactly what we're going to talk about.
And bottoms.
And bottoms. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.